We're back to the Neil Haley Show. My guest today is Alex Panovic. Alex, thanks for stopping by. We're going to talk about the silent service and some mental health conversation, which I'm really looking forward to. Alex, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, man. Good morning. This is a blast. I'm loving it.
I know you're loving the tour, and it's going to be, you never know what kind of questions you're going to be asked and all that stuff. What made you want to become an actor, first of all? Kind of tell us that journey, how that happened.
Yeah, I kind of stumbled in it. I played in a rock band since I was like 15 years old, so that was my kind of passion. And I also had three generations of boxers in my family, so I also box, so that was a huge passion, still is. And as I was playing and the boxing started happening, it was just two things that, you know, don't really go well together, but I just love them both. And I'm very much a person that says yes. And so I was playing at a bar and a casting director saw me, asked if I would audition for this film. I thought it would be interesting and fun. I went in there, had a great, like, I didn't even know what I was doing. They just asked me to say a few lines. So I said, I got the role. And when I got on set, I was like, well, this is really interesting. I love the team aspect is what really got me. And then in the small town that I live in Winnipeg, Manitoba, in Canada, the stunt coordinator there, him and I became friends, and he said, hey, we don't have a big guy like you on our stunt team. Do you want to try this? So I started doing that, and then I got into stunt acting. Then I really wanted to tell stories and not get beat up and thrown downstairs. And that's when I just really decided to kind of stop everything and just pursue acting. And I started late. At 35 is when I started.
Wow. So I had, okay. And that means you're never too late in certain things. I'm 51 now, Alex. And then, you know, when I think about things specifically enough, I'm a former professional wrestler. It's making a comeback into the ring at 51, kind of because I have a marketing agency. And I said, I'm going to do this. And I miss wrestling when I walked away full time. And when I was 29 years old, became a teacher, had a bunch of different backgrounds, then became an entrepreneur again. So go figure in all these different things. And then wrestling comes back to you again in the boxing world. So you were a bouncer. I mean, I'm sorry, you were a boxer. Yeah. And then you did stunt. What kind of got you away from stunt to acting more? Were you able to kind of transition? Was that your foot in the door with stunt, being a stuntman?
It was definitely a foot in the door, because the town that I was in, there was only one stunt team. So any film that came into this town, that stunt team was going to be a part of. And there's usually stunt actor roles that happen. So there'll be let's say a bouncer that, you know, has a few lines here and there, and then a fight ensues. So you don't have to put a stunt double in there. So they use both. So I started doing that just because I just enjoyed it. And then I was like, you know what? I don't want to get beat up anymore, but I do want to keep on telling stories. Being in the band is about telling stories. And I think boxing is about telling stories. There's a story of how your career will go and how you box. It's a science. And so I love the idea of telling stories. And this was just another avenue that I decided to, at 35, go, you know what? I think I'm done with all this stuff for now, and give a legitimate shot to trying to make this a living for myself. So that was how I kind of moved into acting. And I got very fortunate. And again, 35 years old, I was struggling. I was just struggling to make rent. And everyone that I was taking acting classes with, you know, doing workshops, were 10 years younger than me. And there was a lot of times where I could have just said, you know what, this is probably not for me. I'm going to take a safer road. But man, I just really love the idea of telling stories and working with a team, and then see an end result that everybody, you know, worked so hard over the months to make, and then you see the end result. That's just something that's always been a huge part of my life. So I enjoyed it, and that's how I got into it.
I think it really helped you in the fact that you have boxing and performing, because when you perform as a musician, you really lose that stage fright in certain aspects, right? And then with your performance, a lot of stuff is going to be action type stuff, and you're used to being in action type roles because of a boxer. So it fit perfectly for you, the acting thing,
And it was even that moment of going, okay, like, you know, there is a certain fear when you're doing either live theater or going in front of a camera to do something emotional. And so there's a fear in that. But and same with boxing. There's a fear in walking to that ring and knowing you're going to get punched in the head. So it's overcoming fear, which I think that's what helped me with boxing is, and the only way to box well and to your capability is to be relaxed. So in the face of trauma, you have to be relaxed to use all your faculties. So that to me helped me a lot, unbeknownst to me. I didn't think there was going to be a parallel, but I found a parallel and it really helped me through my career.
What do you think after, you know, doing the stunt thing, did you create relationships and stuff when you started auditioning? You had to definitely leave that small town, right? To act, correct? You left to move somewhere else to kind of really, you know.
I left Winnipeg and went to Vancouver on my way to Los Angeles because while I was in Winnipeg and films would come in and the actors from LA. So I developed relationships with a lot of people that gave me a shot to go to LA. But as I was going there, I stopped in Vancouver and then 9/11 happened. And that's when I basically wasn't allowed to go to Los Angeles and the turmoil that was happening in the U.S. So I stayed in Vancouver and I just developed a steady career that not only was just in Vancouver, but branched out to all over the world in Los Angeles because a lot of productions come to Vancouver. So I got very fortunate. I worked my butt off for sure, but I did get fortunate with amazing people along the way that helped me and lift me up.
All right. So let's talk about, you know, specifically the silent service. We can go into your career for a lot and we could have a long, long, long conversation. We don't have that much time. So go into the silent service and your role in that and the premise.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting premise. It's also, it was a 1980s manga, successful manga show and where a lot of people had a lot of fans a part of it. And it took a few years for them to develop it into a live action. And it was really great because I was working in Japan and that was my first time there working and to see, you know, going down the streets or going to dinner with different people and telling them what I'm a part of and everyone like extremely supportive of watching the live action of this. That's something that I really enjoyed were people excited about it. And so to be able to tell the story, you know, it's basically Japan and the U.S. And a relations and an agreement about working together through the submarine initiative. And I play Admiral Logan Steiger, and we get word that Kaeda, one of the captains of the submarines, basically becomes rogue and states that he has a nuclear weapon on board. And my character doesn't believe him. And that then from there, it's the trials and tribulations of does he have it or doesn't he have it? Why did he go rogue? Why did he make himself an entity? And it's one of those things where it makes you think about like the true piece of its complexities of international relations and the morality of having power. What do you do with a power like that? And do you use it for good? Do you use it for bad? So it's one of those instances when you have all this power, where do you go and how do you conduct yourself? So it goes through that whole kind of journey through 8 episodes. And it was just something that I was really excited to be a part of because they know their storytelling and they've developed it since the 80s for this specific project. So I love the idea of how it's fleshed out and how we shot it. And the end result is something that I'm very proud of.
No, that's great. We check that out. It's available on Amazon right now, right? People can go to Amazon Prime and check it out. Is that correct?
There it is. It's right there. Silent Service.
All right. Awesome. Let's go right now, basically, to your mental health mission. Tell us about that.
Yeah. I'm very fortunate to work with a team and we're about to launch probably at the end of April, a canned water here in Canada called Legend. And, one of the reasons why we're excited about it, we think Canada has one of the best waters in the world, and our pH levels close to 8 with the facility that we're using. And we started from scratch because everyone was really excited to be a part of this, a part of getting rid of single plastic use and really kind of embracing the environmental championing of you know, getting rid of single plastic use. And on top of that, everyone has somebody that's struggling either in their family or a close friend, one degree of separation. And 20 years ago, it was a taboo topic to talk about. And now the idea of people talking about mental health and looking for help is something that is more or less celebrated now, which is something that we really enjoy. So to be able to, so what we did was we put a QR code on our can that says Legend Supporting Legends with a little something there that says if you're struggling, you click the QR code and it takes you to a suicide crisis hotline, but also takes you to numerous rehab and addictions facilities if you need help and need to talk to somebody and need to just go in for help right away. So that was something that we're working with an amazing partner, Andy Batty, who's really kind of championing this for us. And we'll be doing a lot more charities. We'll be doing things along the same line. But to have something in your hand that you can just take a picture of the QR code and have help right away, whether you're in a nightclub drinking water and you're feeling, you know, like the pressure's getting to you, it's right in your hand. You're at a baseball game, wherever it is, mental illness strikes you, and it's an invisible killer. So it's something that's right in your hand, and that's something that we're really excited about and excited to put into the world.
Where's the best place people can find info on that?
Hopefully at our website. Right now, we're right in the middle of it. So at the end of April, we'll have it out there. But my social media, Legend Water, just look up Legend Water Co. on social media, and that's where we're just starting to get it going. We'll have all the information on there as we launch at the end of April.
When that starts, I'd love to have you back on for even a longer interview. Just reach out to my team. Just go to my website, neilhaley.com, send a message or have your team email me, and then I will definitely do a longer interview talking more about that. I'd love to be part of that in some sort of way, putting it out on my social media. And I also would love the fact of just some of these connections with mental health awareness based on one of my clients that is really big on postpartum depression. He's a gynecologist that has a foundation called Safe Pregnancies, and it's doing some fantastic work, and really think there could be a collaboration of some sort going through that. So a lot of different things we can talk.
I would absolutely love to be a part of that. And I'm definitely dialing you up, man, for sure.
That's the power of podcasting, radio, and television, man. You know, you build these relationships. So I'm going to finish up with this. I'm going to challenge you to a wrestling match when my documentary comes back. I'm 6'10", 290 pounds. You know, I'm getting back in the ring. Maybe you should get in the ring with me. You never know. That could be a good charity something.
Are you calling me out on live?
Absolutely. I called out John Kreese last week, Marty Cove. I'll keep doing it. I'll call out as many people as possible. I take you out. Mr. Marvel, I can take you out. He's Mr. Superhero. 6'10 would crush you. Absolutely crush you.
Okay. It's on. Let's sign the papers. It's on.
Wrestling versus boxing, right? You know, didn't I think it, you know, I also got the opportunity to challenge a few people, putting that all in my montage, where I'm going to be going ahead and doing an Indiegogo for the whole documentary, but it's being gigantic and it's going to be shooting in September. That's my hope. So, you know, it's all about these different things. And you know what? Your size and stuff, we're in conversations to do a Road Warriors movie. Who knows? A lot of things in the works. I told you, I that's why I'm back working with such a great radio tour of Art Sears, because he is the man. And I'm just going out there just like you, promoting and everything. It's great stuff. So people can check you out. Where's place social media? People follow you, Alex. Where can you go?
Yeah, social media, AlexPaun, Alex Paun. And that's on X and on Instagram, all socials. I'm usually around. Instagram is the one that I'm on the most, for sure. So yeah, come by and say hello.
All right, Alex. Appreciate it, brother. We'll be in touch. Take care, man.
I will find you. I will find you.
You're going to find me, and I'm going to choke slam you. Take care, man. You're listening and watching the Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.